And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That means our great theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, stops by with a review of something thespian. Hey, Judy, good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about Finding Neverland. That's at the Hippodrome Theater. It's there until the end of the weekend on Sunday. So obviously Finding Neverland has something to do with Peter Pan. So what is this? Is this another retelling? And this was a movie, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a movie, the 2004 Johnny Depp movie. And this musical, there have been many versions of Peter Pan. This musical, however, is based on that movie and the play that the movie was based on. Finding Neverland is mostly about James M. Barry and how he came to write Peter Pan, the inspiration that he got from the Llewellyn Davies family on stage and in the movie. We see them as a widowed mother with, at that point, four boys. I found it a very moving movie, and the musical has gone through several incarnations. It was tweaked some, I understand, for the national tour. I didn't see its earlier incarnations, but for the most part, this touring version absolutely gets it right.
Good. You know, just as a general concept, putting aside the fact that it's Peter Pan, and everybody knows that story, is a show about writing a show all that interesting? I mean, if you pitch that to somebody, you know, would it work?
Well, and I have to say, you know what you're in for from the start in this show, because the James M. Barry character says, "I'm going to tell you a story about how I came to write that story." Personally, I find the creative process very interesting, but I can see how not all audiences may feel that way. In this case, though, Tom, because Barry's creative process sprang from his relationship with these children and their mother, and because there was a great deal of sadness and even tragedy in both the Llewellyn Davies family and in Barry's own childhood, there's a lot of emotional underpinning to the story, and it definitely comes across in this musical. The script is by a British playwright named James Graham. I brought a song that stems from that emotional underpinning. Barry tells Sylvia Llewellyn Davies, the boy's mother, about the tragic death of his own brother as a child, and then he tells her about Neverland, and he says he has never told anyone about this before. Neverland is both a place of imagination and a place for the lost. That's lost as in deceased in this case. So here is Billy Harrigan Tye as J.M. Barry and Christine Dwyer as Sylvia singing Neverland.
In a place so far away, we'll be young, that's how we'll stay. Every wish is a command. I am closer now.
Billy Harrigan Tye and Christine Dwyer in Finding Neverland. They got some pipes. They can sing.
Yes. I
interviewed Billy Harrigan Tye and James Graham, as a matter of fact, on In the Bromo, and had some really nice conversations with both of them. These performances are terrific, I think. How would you characterize the score and the other performances?
Well, the score is by Gary Barlow and Elliot Kennedy. They are Broadway newcomers from the pop world, and the score has mostly a kind of pop Broadway sound. I found the music stronger than the lyrics. The lyrics can be cliched and a little banal. Barry and Sylvia have a very dippy duet called What You Mean to Me, and there's some really overwrought belting. The two leads you just heard, Billy Harrigan Tye and Christine Dwyer, are both powerful actors as well as powerful singers. The musical introduces more of the romance between them than I believe there actually was, but that works well on stage. And this production has John Davidson, who just took over the role of Barry's producer and the inspiration for Captain Hook. And Davidson does very well as this exasperated producer whose efforts to get Barry to write a hit play take on kind of a threatening tone. I also have to mention the children. There are six different child actors who play the four Llewellyn Davies boys. The Llewellyn Davies family has been sort of compressed for this case. On opening night, the fellow I saw play Peter, Connor Jameson Casey. Peter is the serious sort of bookish model for Peter Pan. And Connor let us see the way Peter is struggling with sadness, and it's making him grow up too fast. Most of these child actors cover three roles, three of the different boys, which has got to be quite a task. The program gives them billing right after the stars, and they certainly deserve that. And the boys, the Llewellyn Davies boys, get one song all to themselves. It's called We're All Made of Stars. They play the ukulele and the washboard, and they use sticks on wooden crates in this number. I brought you a snippet of that.
If a doctor could save only just one life from pain and from misery, that's what I wanna be. I would sail all around the world to life of discovery. That is the life for me. If I could write every single day, I would write all my cares away. I'd be leading a different life, a wonderful life. Imagine.
All right, We're All Made of Stars. Those are some nice singing from those kids. That's from the touring production of Finding Neverland at the Hippodrome. So obviously, Judy, I got to ask you, the flying. How does that work out?
Well, the way the flying is done is actually one of my favorite effects. It's dancing. The show is directed by Diane Paulus, who was a Tony Award winner for Pippin, the revival that came to the Hippodrome 2 years ago. The choreography is by Mia Michaels, and she has really done an enchanting job. So the flying, when the children fly, dancers hold them aloft. It's very simple, but it's very graceful, and it's lovely. The script and the staging show us the source for a lot of Peter Pan elements, kind of like Wicked. We see the inspiration for the pirate captain's hook and for Tinkerbell. We see how Barry got the idea for the children to fly. And when he gets these ideas, the things that he's thinking are enacted on stage. Now, sometimes these turn into very big effects. It's not all simple. There's a pirate scene at the end of the first act when rigging goes up and the whole stage becomes a pirate ship. It's a big production. The set is by Scott Pask. Barry's final scene with the boy's mother, I'm not going to give it away, but it's magical. It works musically, it works dramatically, it works emotionally.
Well, the other thing that's magical is the enduring effect of this story. I mean, from Mary Martin on, you know, on television in the 50s, and then, you know, Spielberg did Hook and stuff. I mean, what do you think the lasting appeal of Peter Pan can be attributed to?
Well, I'm a Peter Pan fan myself. It helped mold my love of theater. The very first live stage show I ever saw was Peter Pan. I remember seeing Peter Pan as my first show on color TV, the Mary Martin musical. Peter Pan isn't just about not wanting to grow up. I think mostly Peter Pan is about never losing your childlike spirit, your sense of playfulness and creativity, and that's a very appealing concept. This is the show that does appeal to children of all ages, as they say, but Finding Neverland does the same thing and does add allure. It has kids in it, it has a dog in it, but it has a lot of heart. The movie really got to me the first time I saw it, and this musical does too.
Finding Neverland. It's at the Hippodrome Theater here in Baltimore until Sunday, and we've got links to all the details about the showtimes and stuff at WIPR.org/midday. So next week, what are we going to talk about, Judy?
Next week, we're going to talk about Chesapeake Shakespeare's alfresco production of The Tempest at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park.
Yeah, that's right. Theater alfresco. All right, well, look forward to it, and talk to you then. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Lunch for our midday guests today, including Judy Russick, is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That will do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. We'll recap the news of the week with Julie Bykowitz, White House correspondent for the Associated Press, and Dr. Carol Alexander. She's an historian and the author of White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divides. A terrific book. We'll also hear from a terrific a cappella trio from Zimbabwe called Inzingizi. They're going to sing for us right here in Studio A. So I hope you can join us tomorrow on Midday. Thanks for listening today. Stay tuned for Here and Now. It's on the way right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day. We'll be right back.